This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Meditation, recorded at the Hammer Museum. Each week, Diana Winston, Dr. Allison Pimentel, or one of the UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
All right, welcome everyone. I'm Diana Winston, and I am the director of UCLA Mindful, the Mindfulness Education Center at UCLA Health. Happy you're here. I want to welcome the people who are listening from a distance. We're live streaming this right now, and so I can't see you, but hello, welcome, welcome wherever you're calling in or viewing from. Welcome to the people here. We're here to practice mindfulness, and mindfulness is paying attention to our present moment experiences with openness, curiosity, and a willingness to be with that experience. So it's an invitation into the here and now, to live life with more awareness, to not be so lost in our concerns and our ruminations and our worries and anxieties, and then finding our way to a place of peace and calm and ease in the present moment. And we also gain skills to through mindfulness practice to work with difficult emotions. So it's not about getting rid of them. It's learning skills, practices, modalities that help us have more ability to access the present moment, working with the difficult parts of it and resting and enjoying the lovely parts of the present moment. Last week, I was talking about the quality of equanimity, and I felt like I wanted to do a little more about it because I only did a portion of the meditation around it. Equanimity is a quality of even-mindedness and balance. It's that ability to have a stable, non-reactive mind, a mind that when there is all sorts of things happening, negative, positive, it can stay centered, grounded, connected, not shaken by the winds of change that happen in our lives. Now, most of us have some level of equanimity, some people more than others. You may have a friend who seems to be really balanced, maybe calm, even in a crisis situation, for instance. Or you might be, maybe you're that person. Or maybe you have another person in your life who seems to be always caught up in some kind of like drama, concern, worry, and doesn't seem to have that equanimity. Well, the good news is it can be cultivated. It's a state of being that can be cultivated, and it's cultivated through mindfulness practice, it's cultivated through the continual noticing of what's happening in the present moment without a lot of reactivity. So in other words, you're sitting here, you're meditating, you feel some discomfort in your body, or maybe you're feeling bad, you're sad, there's some difficult emotion. And we learn through the mindfulness practice to be present with that, to stay present, to not flinch, to not try to run away or get rid of it or change it, but just to be with things as they are. Secondly, it's cultivated through a specific practice, which we're going to do, where you develop, use phrases, and the phrases are things like, things are as they are. May I be with things as they are. And so we use the power of thought to help us connect with this quality of equanimity. And it's something that's cultivated over time, because some things we can have a lot of equanimity about, and other times we don't have equanimity. And I know that I would say that in my life right now, equanimity is one of my favorite qualities to be cultivating, because in a world where there's so much turmoil, in a world where things are so unpredictable, uncertain, there's a lot of fear out there, there's a lot of sense of disempowerment, right? That what we can draw on is our inner resources. We can draw on our own inner resources to find this capacity to have a stable mind and heart no matter what is happening. I've told this story probably many times, but when I was, there was years where I was living in a monastery practicing meditation, and there were It was in the jungle in Burma, which is now called Myanmar. And it was very, very kind of intense experience, right? There was a lot of heat. It was quite rudimentary, like the accommodations and so forth. But the hardest thing for me was that there were snakes and spiders and scorpions. It was really, you had to check your shoes all the time to make sure you weren't going to step on a scorpion. And centipedes, which were poisonous. But one of the hardest things were the mosquitoes. And so what I was doing in the monastery was I was meditating all day long. I would do sitting meditation like we're doing here, and then I would do some walking meditation. Basically, that was what I did through the whole day. But then there were just tremendous amount of mosquitoes, and it started to be very hard to meditate. So I started then spending a lot of time designing mosquito traps and enacting that so I could get rid of the mosquitoes and make my life good. So the first one I did was I found a big bucket of lake water and I put it in the center of the room that I was in, and I waited till the mosquitoes landed on it, and then I grabbed it and pulled it out and I got rid of some of them, but they came back. And then another one was there were holes in the wall, and so I they were for ventilation, and I blocked them with magazines and I glued things to the wall, and then I was boiling hot, so that didn't work. And then my favorite was at nighttime I would turn on an outdoor light, stand in front of the window, open the window wide open, and sort of invite the mosquitoes to come and get me. And they'd go flying towards the light and I'd jump out of the way and they'd go out the window. Like a toreador. That worked pretty well, except for one thing. I wasn't meditating, which is what I was supposed to be doing there. I was designing mosquito traps. So there came a point after doing this fairly for many weeks where I realized that I could design all the mosquito traps in the world, but no matter what I did, there would always be another mosquito. And that my job was not to get rid of all the mosquitoes, because that was impossible. I couldn't control that. But what I could do was create a mind that could be okay even in the midst of the mosquitoes. And that became the beginning of my development of equanimity, this stable, balanced, even mind, no matter what's coming at you. And I'd always remind myself throughout the meditation for many, many months, I would always say, there's always another mosquito. And there is in life, right? There's always something. So we can't control the external things, but what we can control is our relationship to it. Can we find the inner resources to stay stable, grounded, centered, calm, balanced, no matter what's going on in the world? Okay, so we're going to do a meditation now. We're going to settle into some basic mindfulness practice, and then I'll do the equanimity practice in the second part. Remembering the mindfulness develops the equanimity. So finding a posture that is comfortable to you, noticing your feet on the ground. If you're at home, you might be on a bed or couch, cushion, chair, just finding your posture. With your back upright, but not too rigid or tight. And if someone is practicing at home with a kind of injury or need, you can do it lying down. Just try to stay awake. Your eyes can be closed. And if for some reason you want to keep them open, that's fine. Looking downward, but not too, you don't want to be too distracted. So just kind of a soft gaze. And we can begin with a few deeper, longer, slower breaths. And with each breath, inviting in a little bit of calm, ease, balance, or at least the possibility of those things. Coming more fully into the present moment. And if you gently scan your body, you might notice that there's areas of tension or tightness, and see if you can soften. So bringing your attention, for instance, to your stomach area, is your stomach tight? You can breathe into that area, let it release or soften. How about your hands? Are your hands tense, contracted? Just letting them soften. Allowing the natural sensations that are arising in your body just to be there, whatever that is, the feeling of your feet on the ground. You might notice vibration, tingling, warmth, heaviness, lightness. Notice your shoulders and neck area, also another area we get tension in. So sometimes it even helps to move your shoulders and neck a little bit to release the tension. And breathe, letting your face be soft. Sometimes we don't even notice our eyes are you know, tight. We've like squinched up our eyes or our mouth, the jaw is tight, just letting it all go. And as we're noticing our body, let's take a moment to pay attention to the sounds around us. Sounds in the room coming and going. Ambient noise. Sounds that just appear. We don't have to be in a quiet place to meditate. I mean, this room here, for those of us in the room, is pretty quiet for the most part. But we can meditate with sound. So the way to do that is simply noticing the sounds as they come and go. Receiving the sounds. Noticing the silence. Not getting lost in thinking about the sounds. Sometimes we hear a sound and we think, what is that? We start to analyze it. We get aggravated, irritated. Or maybe we like the sound. So all that is, it may kind of pop up in your mind, but see if you can just listen. Don't go down that path of thinking about the sound. Simply listen. And then coming back to your body awareness, feeling your breath in your body, the rising, falling of your abdomen. Can you feel your breath moving through your body? And if you focus on the abdomen, you'll feel rising, expanding, further expansion, contraction. And then the next breath. Or in your chest area, you might notice rising, settling, expanding, contracting. Or the air moving through your nose, tingling, warmth, coolness. So for this first part of the meditation, the basic mindfulness practice invites us to focus on one thing, such as our breath. But if you like listening to sound, go back to that. The breath in one of those areas I mentioned, abdomen, chest, or nose. And we'll just stay with it, rising, falling, or in, out, or the listening, moment after moment. If you're not sure what to pay attention to, you can just pick one of those things I mentioned. They all work well as a focal point for our mindfulness. Rising, falling, or in, out, or sounds coming and going, the breath at its own natural rhythm. And then when your mind gets caught up in something, which may happen, it happens usually to most people, you start planning or remembering or imagining, or, you know, anything can happen. This is not a problem. This is not a failure. This is what happens in our mind when we meditate. You can say a word in your mind to denote it. You can say thinking or wandering. And then reconnect with your focus point, the breath or the listening. And we'll just keep doing that over and over, present for a while, lost in thought, coming back. And then if other things happen, like body sensations or strong emotions, if it's obvious, pay attention to it, notice it, feel it, and then come back to the present moment, whatever you were focusing on. So we'll try this in silence for a little while. And this is cultivating equanimity. It is helping your mind have more balance, ease, capacity to be with life as it is. So we're going to shift to the equanimity practice. Notice how you're feeling in this moment. And then hearing me talk about equanimity, having a mind that is balanced, capable, non-reactive, even-minded. Can you think of a time when you had this quality? So this might have been a big moment for you, but it can also be a small, not very, you know, special moment, but just you handled something well. You dealt with a person that normally bothers you with ease and kindness. You had an even-mindedness. Could be a situation, could be a person, could be an aspect of yourself. So bring that situation to mind. See if you can remember where you were. What could you see or hear? And most importantly, what did you feel as you dealt with something with balance? And just to cement it is in your memory, you can say something in your mind like, I could be with things as they were. I could handle this with equanimity. I stayed centered and grounded with a balanced mind. So whatever language you want to use, just to remind yourself that you could do it, that you've had equanimity. And what did the equanimity feel like in your body? Is there a sense of, as you remember the situation, is there a feeling of strength, solidity, smile, uprightness, relaxed? Can you recognize any of the qualities that were present at this time? I handled things with ease and balance. So we've all had access to equanimity. So now let's imagine, how would we handle something that's a little harder? So see if you can bring to mind something that's a mosquito for you, something that is difficult where you haven't had a lot of balance of mind. Don't pick the hardest thing, especially if you're new, right? So, you know, keep it on the more moderate level. Dealing with a difficult person in your life. You got frustrated when you were driving. See what comes to mind. And as you think about this thing, notice how you feel in your body. Maybe there's a tightening in your stomach, clenching of your hands, clenching of the jaw. And breathe. And then we're going to use some language, and you can repeat my words, or you may find your own. And see which of these words fit for your situation. You might say, things are as they are. May I be with things as they are. Inviting in the quality that you remembered that you had. Things are as they are. May I be with things as they are. Or maybe you might say, you are as you are. May I be with you as you are. Or I am as I am. May I accept myself just as I am. And breathe and notice the impact of saying these words, which may result in equanimity. It may not. This is a practice we're exploring. Things are as they are. Some people like, may I accept things as they are? Or may I be with things as they are? And maybe there's other words that might be helpful, like the very famous phrase, this too shall pass. Or I'll get through this. Or may I handle this with balance and even-mindedness. May I know I can handle this. So I'm throwing out words. What words would make sense for your situation? And as you say those words, notice the impact. Taking a breath. Things are as they are. And if you're feeling some equanimity or some balance, really let that be here. Even if it's just like a glimpse, a moment, a glimmer, let it be here. And if you're not, it's okay. Just notice what is here instead. For whatever I'm feeling right now, may I hold this with awareness, with kindness. And lastly, equanimity is not passive. So as we learn that we can hold and be present with all of the mosquitoes of life, or one of the mosquitoes of life, sometimes we need to adjust the situation. Sometimes we need to make change. So is there any clarity on something you need to do or say about this situation you brought up? See what happens as you contemplate this. From a place of equanimity, what action do I need to take, if any? So notice what you're feeling right now. I just want to remind you one last time of that situation in the past, that you handled it, whatever it was, with balance, with even-mindedness. Just remember that feeling. What was that like? Equanimity. What did it feel like? Strength, courage, solidity. Calm, capacity. You have that. We all have that within ourselves. We can cultivate it. We can grow it. And it can become an inner resource that we come to rely on as we navigate these challenging times. So taking a breath, feeling your feet on the ground. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes or end our meditation. So as I was saying in the meditation, equanimity isn't like I can accept everything, it's all good, right? You know, I'm all peaceful all the time. It's sort of like artificial. Equanimity is an active and engaged quality, and sometimes when we come to a place of equanimity, of non-reactivity, we have more wisdom from which to act. And so a coda to my little story about the mosquitoes was that after a few months, I realized that there was another hut in a different part of the woods that had a lot less mosquitoes, and I moved there. So that was a good solution too, but also with a mind that could see more clearly. Okay, so I'm Diana Winston with the UCLA Mindful Center called UCLA Mindful. We have programs and events. I don't think see any flyers out there, but there is, if you're interested there, you can take a photo of the flyer that is out there or sign up for the mailing list. We have lots of upcoming programs. There's something on, we have a Wednesday group where there's always something going on. This is virtual. We have a course on mindfulness on ADHD coming up. I'm teaching a course on Saturday, an online day long on working with judgments and the judgmental mind. And all of these are still available. And let's see, we have an app called UCLA Mindful also. And everything we do in here, there's hundreds and hundreds of meditations, including short ones like 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And we have 20 different languages on there. And it's a free app for the future. Always will be free because UCLA makes it. So thanks. I have like a kind of crazy schedule the next couple of weeks. I'm teaching a meditation retreat and then I'm going on vacation. So I won't be back till like, I think the second week in July, but we have lots of good guests coming in. Allison will be here next week. And then we have other people coming. So it will be here. Please come enjoy. This is for you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Meditation from the Hammer Museum. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.